Show me, O Lord, thy ways. Teach me thy paths. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is the first verse of that hymn we've been singing for our devotion of the 12 Sundays to the Mother of Good Counsel. O Virgin Mother, Lady of Good Counsel, sweetest picture artist ever drew, in all doubts I fly to thee for guidance. Mother, tell me, what am I to do? By thy face to Jesus' face inclining, sheltered safe beneath thy mantle blue, by his little arms around thee twining, Mother, tell me, what am I to do? The melody of this hymn, it's a classic 19th century Victorian piece, is a little difficult to sing, but I've noticed at the masses that you tend to chime in a little bit with the choir, as you're always welcome to, when we get to the part, Mother, tell me, what am I to do? It is insistent. It is pleading, twice repeated in every verse. A bit like the voice of the psalmist, twice in today's Holy Mass, right at the very beginning in the introit, and again at the gradual, before the Holy Gospel, the Church sings from the 24th Psalm, Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. The sense of our need and Almighty God's infinite goodness, the longing to be delivered from the encroaching darkness of this life, marks the Advent season, which makes us see how much we need a Savior. For that is what his holy name means, Jesus. Our prophet from the Old Testament for Advent is the great Isaiah. He predicted our Lord's coming, and once he used a remarkable title, just once, for our Savior, which found its way into the litany of the Holy Name. Angel of Great Counsel, he calls our Lord. Now, angel, that means a messenger. We should understand it as true. He is the angel, our Lord is, in a threefold sense. First of all, Jesus is the angel of the Father's counsel. He brings it down to earth. That is to say, his eternal wisdom, which resolves to save fallen mankind by the incarnation, by the cross and passion, by the Holy Church. Our Lord is the Word of the Father. He is the expression of his counsel, his will, to save us. Next, he himself, the angel of great counsel, in turn sends his Spirit along with the gift of counsel and the six other gifts of God the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. Finally, this angel, our Jesus, not only brings counsel, he not only sends counsel, but he also gives his mother to us as our mother, and his counsel to take her unto our own. See the humility of our Lord. He makes himself the creature, an angel, as it were, the messenger of his Father, the precursor of the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost. But also in a sense, and he is proud to do it, he, the most loving sons, makes of himself a messenger to prepare the way for his mother. Once, as the mother of Jesus, our Blessed Lady, was his official teacher, and she carried out that charge with all perfection. Now, we, who are his brethren, the members of his body, he commits to her as well to be taught. To be taught what? To be taught the ways of heavenly prudence, to be taught good counsel. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths, would make an excellent Advent prayer. Advent begins. I must be convinced of my need for counsel. I must take counsel, at least when it is given me by God's providence, but more than that, I should go looking for counsel. I should ask for it. I should even long for counsel, which means in the first place the coming of the angel of great counsel. Tell me, in this or that circumstance, tell me now, what am I to do? Counsel is then just a heavenly prudence, a kind of a supernatural common sense, so that in this or that aspect of life right now, this is how I would apply the gift of knowledge and wisdom and fortitude and the rest of it. Why do you think counsel is so rare in our day? Why we will not listen to advice? It is our own faults, moral and mental both, which oppress the gift of counsel, which we all received at confirmation. And thus it lies dormant within us like a bare tree in the autumn of the year, because we are busy listening to the wind, and that's all it is, howling wind, the wisdom of this world, which has got to tell you what's in style and what is fashionable and what people are thinking and doing and watching today, so why don't you get with it? The wind, the prudence of the flesh, as Scripture says, it stifles the spirit of counsel. Our Lord identified as lacking in counsel particularly the Pharisees. Remember, in his own day, the audacity of them. They were in the process of creating a new religion, man-made, based not on the sacred Scriptures of the Old Testament covenant, but based upon the writings of their rabbis called the Talmud. This religion is perfected by them today, and it oppresses all the world. For the Pharisees always possess the wisdom of the world. It is a characteristic of the Jewish nation. Almighty God, in His divine Son, told the Pharisees of His day that they make the commandments of God to no effect. The Pharisees were proud men, but so are we. Now, pride makes a wise man foolish. The desire for one's own excellence, that's the definition of pride. I want to stand out. I want to command, but not to obey. I want to be the guide of other men. I can correct his faults. It's up to me to criticize his actions. I will go about setting other people right in their lives. These are perhaps some of the subtlest workings of pride in our life, because in some of these matters there is a genuine duty, but pride always gets in. Now, in addition to pride, we don't have counsel because we have presumption. We trust ourselves. We give counsel to everyone else, but we will not take it from anyone else. The most we will do is listen to someone else if he tells us what we like, if it tickles our pride. But if our self-love is touched, why then we jump in pain. And we dismiss that advice as just plain wrong. And as if this were not enough, we add to our pride and our presumption by our impetuosity. We cannot stop for a moment to ask the counsel of God or of man in important matters before acting. No, we rush to carry out our own counsel, and it is our own spirit which is leading us and not the Spirit of God. Now, when he leads us, showing us his ways, as we pray today, why then we stop. He leads us to a stop to make us pray before we decide or fix our course of action, to make us ask advice of others who may have a little wisdom after all. But impetuosity makes us invert the divine order of things. And then you know what we do? It's not that we don't pray, but we pray afterwards to try to make everyone else see it our way, and it rarely works. And then there is suffering. Sometimes so much suffering, needless, which could be avoided. Obviously, if only our young people would stop and ask for advice, it just may be that grandma or grandpa, or even mom or dad, if push comes to shove, might have a little help to give. It might be that they've had experiences similar to your own, if you would only stop a little bit and listen. But it's not only for our young people that I preach counsel this morning. Our parents need it too, and very much indeed, as to our priests and our bishops, which is why we pray for them, and teachers too, leaders in all sorts of fields, powerful people, those who are wealthy, those who employ others, those upon whom the goodness or the lack thereof of so many may depend. They all need the spirit of counsel. It dawned on me this past summer, and it was a little depressing to think about it, I must admit, that one can be upright, virtuous, holy, learned, disciplined, and yet almost entirely lacking in counsel. This is a fault not only of the young, but also for those who are old enough to know better. But look, he comes, our Jesus, the angel of great counsel. Was ever a man humbler than he? He comes with the agenda of another. He comes with his Father's plan, the great counsel, for our salvation. And in turn, he who brings counsel sends his own Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to teach us all things after he departs. And finally, this long-expected Jesus gives his most precious possession to men, his mother, with the prayer that we will be humble enough to allow her, the mother of good counsel, to do for us what once she did for him. He obeyed and followed the directions of Our Lady for 30 years. The power, the dignity of the Mother of God is beyond our comprehension. Mary had the right to command God himself, and he obeyed her, and he still does today. What a pity that the source of good counsel, the mother of our Savior, is so much neglected today. No, today it's every man for himself, because we will not seek counsel of God or of man. This is the problem. But Advent is the season to envisage a solution. More to see it, but then to long for it, to hope for it, to pray, to prepare his way. Come then, thou angel of great counsel. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.